But let's, before we start, let's just review so that we'll be able to have an easy landing here on Kuf Yud Beis Amid Beis. Back on Kuf Yud Beis Amid Aleph, we had a situation in which Abaye was wearing a sandal on Shabbos, and Ifsikeli Ritzua, his strap was broken, and he asked Rav Yosef what he's allowed to do. And Rav Yosef told him that if it's a case of Eino Roy Od L'Shimush, that it can't be used anymore. And the reason for that is because Nifsaka Tabas Achitzonit, which means the outer one, which nobody would wear the sandal in the way that it is, as is now, because it's Chitzonit, means it's Nikar, it's obvious to the spectator that it's broken, so you wouldn't want to walk around with that. That gives it a din of Muktza. And keep in mind that there are these two loops on the sandal, one on the right and one on the left. The one on the right side, for our purposes here, we'll call it the pnimit. You know, it's less obvious to the eye of the spectator. And when Abaye sort of presses Rav Yosef on this issue of muktza, and insists that the sandal is still royal shimush, and therefore it's a kli and it's not muktza, he points out, Abaye to Rava, that I can switch from one foot to the other. Or, maybe I shouldn't say from one foot to the other, but he can do it in a way in which that side which is on the right should go into the left, or from the right to the left, in other words, in a way in which the tabas hapnimis, the one that's hidden from the eye, is the one that's going to be, so to speak, the broken side, the broken ring, if you want to call it, loop. And that's not mechur, that's not something that's embarrassing, or if he fixes it on a temporary basis, it's not nikar la'ayin, because it's on the pnimis. So wouldn't it be enough for the potential to switch from the chitzona to the pnimis in order to allow it to retain its status as a nal, as a kli, and not be muktza? So Rav Yosef responds that Rav Yochanan apparently paskin like Rav Yehuda. And Rav Yehuda is the one who's going to hold, as we'll soon see, that if you have a sandal shenifska tabas achitzonis, and that makes it mechur and nikar la'ayin, because that's the chitzonis, the outer one, then it's not a kli, and it's also betiltel on Shabbos. And Rabbi Yehuda is not willing to accept the principle that you can switch it from one side to the other, you know, turn the nal in a way where it's now more appropriate for the other foot. And at this point, the Gemara wants to analyze where is this Rabbi Yehuda, and how do we know that Rabbi Yochanan indeed paskins like Rabbi Yehuda? So we have a brisa, and the brisa says that if you have a sandal which both tabaot, you know, which is called oznayim, on both sides were cut and were broken, then in such a case, or there's another case where the entire sole of the shoe is completely removed. So if that nal had previously contracted tumah, that tumah just dissipates. Now the nal is tar because it lost its shem kli. Then the Braisa quotes machlokes tanoim in the case of achas miaznov, achas mitarsios, if one of the two tabaos is broken. And the Tanakhama holds that it still retains its status as a nal, as a kli, and therefore the tumah is still in place. It's not parcha tumasa. We don't say that the tumah has dissipated. But Rabbi Yehuda says that it all depends upon which tabas was nifsika, which one was ripped. Was it the pnimis or the chitzona? If it was the pnimis, then it still retains its status as a nal and as a kli and as tame. But if it's the chitzona, then it forfeits its shem kli. It's no longer nal and parcha tumaso. And that's Rabbi Yehuda's shita, which in a sense we call it in this context a kula, although in Shabbos it's going to be a chumra. And it's Rabbi Yochanan who applies that machlokes tanoim of the Tanakam Rabbi Yehuda in Tuma to the case of Shabbos. And basically the way Rabbi Yochanan lines up the shitos, the chachamim who say that nifsika ozno chitzonis, even though it's the outer one, still it retains its shame kli, because you could always switch it back one way to the other, and therefore the tumah is still chal, that shita of the chachamim is going to be lakula in the case, I'm sorry, I'm just going to get it, according to chachamim, that lo batul b'men shame kli, that's going to be a chumra in tumah, but a kula in muktzah. It's not muktzah, but Rabbi Yehuda, who in the case of nifska chitzona was mekil in tumah, and he said that the parcha tumas because the lost shem kli, he's going to be machmir le'inyan Shabbos as far as muktzah is concerned. Then Rabbi Yochanan makes another statement. And that is that there's no machlokes whatsoever with regard to chalitza. And in the case of a nal shel chalitza, everybody agrees that if the ozen, or they call it the tabas, the loop that's on the outside, even though it's on the outside, which is nikar la'ayin, is ripped, nevertheless it still retains its shame nal, and it's kosher lechalitza, because as far as chalitza is concerned, as we'll soon see, there's halacha that you can switch left and right and right and left. Now on the bottom here of Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, which we studied in the last shiur, we were wondering that extra piece, that addition or add-on of Rav Yochanan, that he said that everybody agrees in chalitza, according to which shita was he going? If he was going according to the Rabbanon, so then there's something really missing over here, because the Rabbanon says, as far as tumah is concerned, it still retains its status as a kli, and therefore the tumah persists. And as far as Shabbos is concerned, there's no muktzah. So what would happen as far as chalitza is concerned? I mean, are you telling me that that in this case of chalitza, the chacham would be modeh to Rabbi Yehuda that the nal is now pakashem nal, if you will, it's removed from its status as a nal, and it's possible l'chalitza? Is that what Rabbi Yochanan was saying, that hakol modim l'chalitza, meaning hakol modim l'inyan chalitza, that it's possible and it cannot serve as a nal shel chalitza v'asnan? We have a Mishnah in Yevamos that says that you could do chalitza with the nal of a left foot even though it's on the right foot, and vice versa. So by process of elimination, we're going to have to assume and analyze that Rav Yochanan's add-on, his comment, was going according to Rav Yehuda. And his basic comment was that as far as tumah is concerned, as we said before, you could be mekil, and if nifsakah chitzonis, then it's not a nal and it's not a kli. And that kula means that parcha tumasa. As far as Shabbos is concerned, it's not a nal, it's not a kli, and therefore it's muktzah. But as far as chalitza is concerned, even though it's nifsaka chitzonis of the sandal, nevertheless, it still retains its shame nal and its shame kli. As we saw in Yibum, the nal shachalitza could go from the left side to the right side. And that's what we would call Efshel Etakno. He can certainly fix up this Nal and use it for Chalitza. And if this interpretation of Rabbi Yochanan will be accepted, we still have a distance to go, then it means that Rabbi Yochanan seems to have accepted La Locha, the Shita Rabbi Yehud. That would be the simple way of understanding it. That would again justify Rav Yosef's Chumra in the case of Nal, as far as Muktzeh, when Abai asked him that question. But in any event, the Gemara says the following, and this is mamish the bottom of Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis. The last thing we learned in the Shia was that when it says in the Mishnah in Yevamos that we quoted earlier, that shall small in Chalitza, shall small the Yamin is Chalitzasa Kshira, that's what's called Hecha de la Milse Manahu, which means that as far as Chalitza is concerned, even though right now in its present state the Nal is ripped, but nevertheless it still retains its status. Its status as a sandal, the sandal still retains its status as a kli. And that's true even as far as that leg, that foot that it was originally intended for. In other words, before it was Nifsika, before this rip happened, you could have taken this Nal and you could have put it on your left foot. Now, if he instead used it on his right foot and he puts the Nal on, then we could say that even if it's Nifsika, but since it was already a Nal at stage number one, which means that it could have been worn on the left foot, so we see it, so to speak, as if it was fixed up on your left foot. But here, in the case of Nifsika Chitzonis, here the sandal is not a kli as far as that leg in which it was designated for from the get-go. Right, you can't put it on your left foot, and therefore batul mimenu shem kli. And the Gemara proved that from Rabbi Yehuda, the statement that with regard to Tumah and Shabbos is nifsika hatahora hachitzona tahor, which means, says the Gemara, that there's no shem kli, lo shem nal. And now the Gemara is wondering, well, if you apply this yardstick to Nal Shel Chalitza, then how did Rabbi Yochanan know to prove that with regard to the Nal Shel Chalitza, it could be valid? How do we know that if there was a Chalitza on the left foot, on a Nal that was really appropriate for the right foot, how do we know that in such a case the Chalitza would be valid? So therefore the Gemara at this point changes the statement of Rabbi Yochanan a little bit, and instead of saying Aval lo l'inyan Chalitza, the Gemara says V'chein l'Chalitza, which means the following, that Rabbi Yehuda in the case of Sandal would say it's possible even as far as Chalitza, and Rabbi Yehuda would be very consistent. He'd be saying it's not a kli as far as Tumah, and therefore it loses its Tumah. It's not a kli as far as Shabbos, and therefore it's also about the Mukta. And now Rabbi Yochanan is telling us that V'chein l'Chalitza, meaning that if he did a Chalitza on the left with his right, then when is the Chalitza Kshera? And that was the mission that we saw. That's only if it was a Mana Lemilse. And this is where we're going to start now. Hecha, on the top of Daf Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis, Dilemilse Manahu. That as far as the foot that it was originally intended for, the sandal is a Kli, That's because lo nifsak ozno, and therefore you can take it from one foot and put it on the other foot. But here in our case, aval hacha, we're talking about a case of nifsak ozno achitzonis, is lemilsei lav manahu. As far as the original regel for which this was designated, let's call it the left, this is no longer a nal. It's not a kli. It's not fitting anymore. And that's not the case where the Mishnah says that if you took it from one foot and put it on the other foot, then the chalitza is kshera. Rabbi Yehuda would hold that in this particular case of nifsika, which means nifsika ha'ozen achitzona, the chalitza would be psula. And from the fact that Rabbi Yochanan is making a statement that could only work out according to Rabbi Yehuda, not according to the Chachamim, we can prove from this clearly that Rabbi Yochanan paskins halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda, that if you have a sandal and nifsika ha'ozen achitzonis, it's not a kli, it's also a tiltul, and that's why Rabbi Yosef paskin for Abaye that he's not allowed to do much with this nal on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, "Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi." Is it really possible that Rabbi Yochanan paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, which is again lechumra in Shabbos and in Chalitza? V'Amar Rabbi Yochanan Loch Kistam Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan is committed to paskin like a Stam Mishnah. Utnan, we have a Mishnah in Kalim. Sandol shenifsika achas miyozna v'tikna tamei midras. So that if it was only nifsika on one side, achas meyaznov, right, these are like these two loops here on both sides, so one of them was broken, then it's tame tumas midras, even after the nifsika aznov, as it doesn't lose its shame kli, and it's only in the case of nifsika shnia, if both sides, you know, the right side and the left side, the chitzonis and the pnimis were broken, then it's tar. V'tikna, I guess it means even if he was misakin one of the oznaim, let's say he fixed the second one, it's still not tar. Obviously, in a case where he wasn't misakin it, and both oznaim are broken, then for sure it's tar. But here, even if he fixed the second ozen, let's say it's still tar milutame midras, because again it had these two oznaim and nifsika, so the tuma has terminated. So we see that the first sandal that was makabel the tuma, and then it got ruined and it's batil parchem menetuma. And this sandal that we're talking about now was never nitma to begin with, and therefore it's tar milutame bin medras. But aval tame maga medras, it remains tame if a dover shenaga bin medras. In other words, it has the din of what we call a rishon lituma, because the sandal touched on its own, I mean directly, when it was tame medras. So even though parchu menetumas medras, but that which was tame because of maga biatzmo, that has the status of all other things that came in contact with medras. That's called maga. And that tumah doesn't evaporate. So the Gemara now clarifies, what does it mean that nifska achas miyozno, it's not batul mitoris sandal, and it remains tummy, my love. Doesn't it mean loshna pnimis, loshna chitzona? In other words, the Mishnah in Kalim does not qualify. It seems that it's absolute, and under all circumstances, it doesn't matter which one of the two oznayim was broken, whether it's the pnimis, which is more private, so to speak, and the chitzona, which is obvious to the naked eye. In both cases, if it's nifsika, it still remains tame. Because again, you could turn over the sandal from one foot to the other, and then the chitzona becomes the pnimis. And we said in the case of pnimis, it still has a shame kli, a shame nal. So we have here clearly a Stam Mishnah that reflects the Shita of the Chachamim, that even though it was Nifsika Ha'ozen Achitzona, which is normally would be Mafkir the Shem, but since he can switch it from one foot to the other, therefore it retains its shame clear. And that's against Rabbi Yehuda. So how could it be possible that Rabbi Yochanan himself would pass it halacha like Rabbi Yehuda when Rabbi Yochanan is committed to halacha kistam Mishnah? So Gemara says, lo, that's not what the Mishnah has in mind. When it says Nifsika Ozen Achas, and it doesn't become tar, that's the case of Nifsika Biozen Apnimis Dafka, not the way you said it, Loshna Apnimis, Loshna Chitzona. We're talking about Apnimis. And if it's a pnimis, you can fix it in a way that it won't be nikar. Nobody sees the pnimis. But enochinami, if it was nifsika bachitzonis, then it would be tar. And that's a reflection of Rabbi Yehuda's shita that we cannot fix it even if you would switch it from one foot to the other, and that's not viable. Now the Gemara wants to reject that answer. Because if you're telling me that you have no choice but to interpret the Mishnah as a case of Nifsika HaPnimis, then let's read the Mishnah carefully. And you're going to tell me that only in that case it's Tomei, but if it was Chitzona, Aval Chitzona Mai Tar, Ihachi Adetani, this is what we call Liflog Velisli Vidor, right? Adetani Nifsika Shnia Vitikna. We didn't have to come up with the case of Nifska Shnia in order to get a Tar. Is Niflog V'nisni B'didah B'med Varam Amurim? When do we say it's not Tar, it still remains Tomei? If it was Nifska 1,000, that's only Shnifska Pnimis. But instead of telling me both of them were Nifska, tell me Aval Chitzona Tar. That once the outer, more obvious ritzua, or shall we say tabas, was broken, then it's tar. And why didn't the Mishnah mention that case? And therefore we have no choice but to assume that nifsika means whether it was the ozen ha-pnimis, or even if it was the ozen ha-chitzona, it still retains its tumah status, and that's against Rabbi Yehuda. And that's why the only case where we could say Tar in the Mishnah was a case of Nifsika Shnia, where both Oznayim were ripped. So Gemara answers, Om Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Tehei Mishnah Seinu, we can interpret our Mishnah in which it says that Nifsika Achas Miyoznav, it's still Tomei, and only Nifsika Hashnia, then it becomes Tar Min HaMedrash. That's B'Sandal Sheyesh Lo Arba Oznayim. That's a very unique case of a sandal that has two sets of Oznayim. Two on the side that's outer, you know, Chitzona, and two that's Pnimi. Or Arba Tresiosim. Or it's a sandal that has four Tresios, these straps. And they have tabos attached to these straps, and that's where, you know, on these tabos we have we cover the ritzuos. The ritzuos go through these tabos; they sort of stitch through them. So now he has two tarsios on the chitzoni side. He has another two on the pnimi side. The Mishnah is talking about only aznaim chitzonios. And when it says in the Reshim, Nifsika Achas Mishte Oznov, Hachitzonios, Tomei, that's because he has another Ozen Chitzonis, an additional one, let's call it a spare tire, and he can Mishtamish with Sandal as is now, even though it's Nifsika, one of the two Oznaim of the Chitzoni, he still has the other one to fall back on. And when it says Nifsika Shnia Tar, that's a case where even the second Tabas Chitzona, the Ozen Chitzona, was ripped. And since both Oznaim Chitzonas were ripped, it's not Roy Lashimush. We're going now like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that if Nifska Ozen Chitzonas, it's Tar. And all this, the Gemara says, Shalom Lishbar Dvarav Shal Rabbi Yochanan. We're making this valiant effort and putting in all this work in order to defend and protect the integrity of Rabbi Yochanan, who says that Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, and to reconcile that with what we thought was a Stam Mishnah against Rabbi Yehuda. Nein, the Stam Mishnah also reflects the Shita Rabbi Yehuda, and if indeed both Oznios, or call them Tabos, on the Chitzonis side were both ripped, then only in that case would it be Tahar. In that case it would be Tahar. We're not going to say, well, maybe he'll switch it from the left to the right. Kiyasa Ravin. Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael with his transmission of the Shita Rabbi Yochanan, and he said, "Amar Rav Chanan bar Abba Marav halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan amar ein halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda." So this tradition of Ravin is exact opposite of the one that we've been operating with until now. And that's why the Gemara says, "Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi v'Amida Mitayitz Rabbi Yochanan Libed Rabbi Yehuda Ishma Mino Ki Rabbi Yehuda Svirale." What we saw back on Amud Aleph, that Rabbi Yochanan said that we're going to work it out according to Rabbi Yehuda, and if he interprets that Mishnah of Chalitza, the Nal Shel Chalitza, according to Rabbi Yehuda, means he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara answers, "Amaroi Ninu V'Alibed Rabbi Yehuda." There's a debate here, there are two traditions, two versions of what Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is. Is he passing like Rabbi Yehuda or not? Ravin, that we just learned now, he's saying in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that the halach is not like Rabbi Yehuda. And he also, Rabbi Yochanan never said that statement that he was quoted by Rabbi Baruch Hanna in his name, that, you know, that we're going to work out the Mishnah of Chalitza according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Gemara is going to quote a different Mishnah, also in Masechet Kelim. Tanai Hossa, we learned in Masechet Kelim, Kol Klei Balei Batim, and here we're talking about Klei Eitz, which are wooden utensils that are owned by a Balabas, and they contracted Tumah. Ishi Uram Ki Rimonim. Now, so at what point do we finally say that there's a hole in the kli, and it's no longer functional, loses its shame, kli? That's when the hole is large enough so that even a pomegranate, which is obviously a relatively large fruit, will fall into the hole. So you have a nekev gadol that's so great that the Baal Bayis, you know, says, we're going to retire this kli, it's got such a big hole in it. But let's say it was a smaller opening, then the Baal Bayis is chas al mamodo, you know, he doesn't want to throw something out, and he's going to continue using it, and maybe he'll use it to store pomegranates. Boy Chizkia, on this din that we saw in the Mishnah in Kelim that we just quoted, there's a suffix in Chizkia, Nikav Kimotzi Zayis Vista Ustamo. So you have a Nekev, an opening in this kli, which an olive could go through that opening. In other words, it's smaller than Motzi Rimon, but yet it's Motzi Zayas. It's in that twilight zone period. And then he closes up this Nekev, he plugs it up, and then again a second time, Chazar V'Nikev. As the kli again broke, and there was an opening, which is kimotzi zayis, and a second time stomo, the Baal Bayis plugged up this hole, we can go on and on and on and say, you know, there was a hole here and a hole there, and you know, the holes were near each other and so forth and so on, and he keeps plugging up all the holes, ad sheshlimo lemotze rimon. Until at some point, if you were to add together all these little holes together, all these nekavim, then it would be large enough for that shear of motzi rimon. So Mao, what's the din? Do we integrate all these different nekavim, and we're mafkir, we're mevatel l'shem kli, and it's tar or not? Amalei Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan responds to Chizkiah, Rabbi, my Rebbe, Shanisa Lanu, you taught us a Mishnah, Mesech the Kalim, Sandal Shanifsika Achas Miyazno Vitikna, Tomei Medris, Nifsika Shnia Vitikna, Tar Mina Medris, Aval Tomei Maga Midras, Viamrina Loch, and we asked you the following question, Mishnah Rishona Dokhaima Shnia. We asked you, what's the difference between Nifsika Ozen Rishona and Nifsika Ozen Ashnia? The only answer that we could possibly come up with is that if it's Nifsika Ozen Rishona, the sandal is not tar, Dokhaima Shnia, because we have another Tabas, there's another backup cavalry Ozen, and therefore the sandal still retains its Shem Kli, it's not Batel Shem Kli. But Nifsika Shnia, but if the second one is also broken, so then Nami, we can still say Hametakna Rishon, Rishona. In other words, he already fixed up the first ring, or the first, attachment for the strap. The Amartalon Aloy, and we asked and we pressed you with this question, you responded, and you said it's not similar. Because when he switched the Ozen Ashnia, he's got two Oznaim, two the old, we'll call it the old Oznaim, and now they were both switched with new ones. They're replaced by new ones. Is Panim Chadoshes Bo'olakan. That's a whole new entity. In other words, after it was Nitma, after the sandal became Tomei with the Tumas Medrash, now we have a new face, so to speak, to this sandal. It's not the same sandal that contracted the tumah. It's a brand new one, and therefore it's tar. And now we're going to ask you, Chizkiyah, the same question here, Hachinami, in the Safek that you raised, why not apply the same din, the same logic? Since it was Kama Nekovim, there's a whole bunch of different little holes, let them all be mitztari for a motzi rimon, for the shia that's batel shem kli. And even if we were so same all the Nekovim, but Panim Chadoshes Bo'olakan, this is a whole new Kli. That's not the Kli that became the contracted tumor, it's tar. And Chizkiyah praises Rav Yochanan. He says, Kari Allah, I could call you, Rav Yochanan, less Dain Bar Inish. You know, you're not a regular person. You're like a malach. You're an angel. Ikad the Amri Yodas have a different lashon that Chizkiyah said about Rav Yochanan. Kagon Dein Bar Inish, that only a person like you is Roy. You deserve the title, the appellation Adam. In other words, you're an Adam Gadol. Amar Rav Zera, Amar Rav Bar Zimuna. Im Rishonim b'nei Malachim, a little bit of Agadah here. Harei Anu b'nei Anoshim, v'im Harishonim b'nei Anoshim, Harei Anu kechamorim, v'lo kechamor shel Rav Chanina ben Dosa, v'af lo kerav Pinchas ben Yor, el kishar chamorim. Now again, I'm sure that there's a deeper meaning here, but just on a simple level to translate the words, the Rishonim, say Rav Zera, he's probably going back to the time of the Tanoim, are like angels. They're superhuman. And we are like people. You know, halavai that we should get to that level that we could call ourselves human beings. Now, if you're going to talk about the Rishonim and classify them as Bnei Anoshim, like a Ben Ish, a Ben Adam, then we're not even in the category of a human being. We're like a donkey. We're really, shall we say, on a much lower level. And you might say, well, you know what? Maybe it's not so bad to be on the level of a donkey. Maybe it's like the donkey of Rav Chanina ben Dosa, that when the listim stole the donkey refused to partake in any of the foods that they tried to give him because they weren't mafish maser. It's not even on the level of the chamor of Rav Pinchas ben Yoyer, who also didn't agree to eat the saorim, the barley that was not Mu'usar, that was Tevel, or maybe Dmai. El Kishar Chamor, we're like a regular Chamor. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah now. The Mishnah said, back on Kuf Yud Aleph Amid Beis, that a woman is allowed to tie this opening in the Chalok, she could tie it up. And it says, Nodos Yayin V'Shem, you're allowed to tie up the flasks of wine and shemen. So Gemara asks Pshita. Once again, these are knots that are tied on it and untied on a daily basis. Who would have a havamina that you're chayef for kosher? And the Gemara answers Lo tzricha de isle tarti uni. The Mishnah is coming to tell us that we're talking about a node that has two openings to it. We'll read it in the just for a second here in the English translation. He says that we're talking about a case where this. Oh, he calls it a canteen. I called it a flask. Has two ears, meaning it has two flaps, which have to be tied shut. And that's how you close it with the two flaps. Mao the same I would fuchada minayu bitule mevatale. The person is going to leave one of the knots permanently. He's going to pour out the wine or the oil from the other opening. And such knots, which are permanent, would be prohibited. Kamash malon. The Mishnah Taya is mechadish to us that the tying of these knots is permissible. And it would be difficult to pour out of one single opening, and therefore it was assumed that he would untie both knots so he'd make the pouring easier. The Mishnah has another case of Kedera Shel Basar, and you tie up a knot of a pot of meat, Pshita. Why would I think that that's a Kesher Shel Kayom? Lo Tzricha De Isla Shlova. The pot has a spout. Okay, fine. What is that? Why is that significant? Mild detain, I might think, bitule mevatale. I might think he's going to leave the knot tied permanently. He's going to remove the pot's contents by means of the spout. He's got the spout, the shlocha. And if that be the case, then we have a real serious malach of kosher. Because if he's going to now pour out the contents of the canteen through the spout, then what's going to happen is that the kesher on the outer lip of the kedera. Oh, and we're not talking about a canteen now. We're talking about a kedera. Sorry, is then it's a kesher kayom a kamashalon. The Mishnah has to tell me no. We're not choshesh. That'll be a kesher kayom. You're allowed to tie it, and we can assume that you'll untie it. The Mishnah then quotes the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, and he says, Kosherin lifnei abehema b'shvil shelo teitze. Is once again Pshita. We would certainly know that you're allowed to tie in front of the animal. This is a kesher that we take apart on a daily basis. Why did the Mishnah feel compelled to teach me this? Lo tzricha de islei tarte isore. We need the Mishnah for a case where he has an opening of the stall where the animal is kept, and it has two ropes, one above the other. Mao de tema, I might have thought, and here we're turning to Daf, Kufyud Gimel, Amid Aleph. Chado minayu bitule mevato. He'll certainly leave one of these two ropes permanently tied, so he'll only untie one of these two ropes to release the animal. And therefore, we're not allowed to tie these knots, because one of these two knots will remain there permanently. We don't know which of the two. It's Karmash Malon, that you're allowed to tie both ropes, because when you're taking out the animal, while the upper rope is still attached, it's very difficult. We assume he's going to untie both ropes. Omar Rabbi Yosef, Omar Rabbi Yudam Shmuel, Halacha ki Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. We're going to paskin like this shita, and you're allowed to tie this rope in front of the animal. And Omele Abaye, Halacha Mechal de Pligi, are you implying that the Tanakhama would disagree with Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov? I mean, we're talking about a knot. Are they saying that you're not allowed to tie this knot? I mean, there's no reason logically why the Tanakhama should argue against Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. I mean, we didn't see that the Tanakhama rejected any of the other opinions in the previous Mishnah. So why are you pressing this? You know, maybe you're right. I imply that there's a dispute. But what difference does it make? I told you how we have, how we paskin la halacha. Amalei gemara, gemar zmurta tehe, which literally translates as an idiomatic phrase, as to learn the tradition, it should be like a song. Now, what is this mashal of a song? See, he says, Yadavar ki zemer u kishir bialma. Hare im ein cholkim adua tzarech lelamdenu halacha kemoso. Why do you have to teach me, Rav Yosef, that halacha is like him? It's like a song. And this is what you say to a Talmud who's not so smart. You tell him, you know, what's the difference between truth and mistake? Let it be like a song. I mean, what's the difference between these two cases? This leads us to the Mishnah here on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Koshrim Dli Bipsikta. So Mirtz Hashem will cover this Mishnah in the next year. So we're down here on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines down from the top of the Omer.